Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome once again to our weekly Sunrise Project call. As always, I'm so honored to have all of you here with us this morning on this particular day for this moment where we share with one another in a safe space filled with love, compassion, and our mutual desire to heal, starting with ourselves. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that serenity prayer has such special meaning for me today, of all days, because it is our fourth anniversary. And our guest this morning, Sylvia High, spent one of our entire sessions breaking down the words of the serenity prayer and what acceptance is all about, and what courage is all about, and what wisdom is all about. So I'm thinking about that particular session back in 2020, I believe. And I have such wonderful thoughts about that. And I just am so honored to have Sylvia here. So before we get started, because I am going off track as I sometimes do, let me introduce you to Sylvia High. For those of you who have been with us many times, you know her. She's incredible. For those of you who may be coming for the first time, let me share with you a little bit about Sylvia High. Sylvia has coached thousands of people and hundreds of organizations to achieve unprecedented results. She runs an organization called Aiming High. She is based in San Francisco, California. So you see, she is up super early, looking fabulous, happier here. But she and some of her clients have gone on to become best-selling authors, CEOs of major corporations, entrepreneurs of multi-million dollar businesses, and Emmy Award-winning producers, marketers, and filmmakers. She's partnered with corporations such as Uber, Squarespace, Delta, Brown-Forman, BET, Essence Magazine, Unilever, and more. She is a two-time author of two books: The Little Book of Big Questions, A Journey in Self-Discovery, which I love, and the I Am Woman devotional for elevated living. She's also the architect and curator of the one-of-a-kind annual I Am Woman conference. I believe it's now in its 10th year, and it is phenomenal. I can personally attest to it. I've gone every year except for maybe two, but really, really an incredible conference that comes every September. Sylvia's expertise lies in empowering people to think differently, to see beyond the obvious, and to move boldly and confidently toward our intended results, no matter what. She is joining us today on our fourth anniversary to discuss the power of mindset. And I just want to say, Sylvia, I was looking back this morning over the many times that you were here and the notes I took. From such wisdom, such gems that you dropped. And the first time you were here was May of 2020, where you talked about the art of authoring our own story and creating our own narrative despite the challenges. And it was such a powerful story and conversation because at that time I was in the throes of a lot of, change. It was a journey. It is a journey still. And I remember you saying, let's kick to the curb, self-loather, judge, critic, and replace that negative conversation with empowering conversation. And at the end of that session, you ended with us all stating after you, the narrative I'm committed to authoring moving forward is this. And it, that was the beginning of a major journey for me. These past 4 years have been such a journey because of you. We've talked so many other times about staying senior to your circumstances, narrative creation, and more. And so this morning, as I turn it over to you, we're talking about the power of mindset. And so grateful for you, so grateful for our friendship, grateful for you to be back again today with us for Sunrise. So thank you for being here.
Wow. Well, good morning. It's so good to be here too, Kelly. And congratulations, 4 years. Is no joke. Sustaining something, anything of value is not necessarily easy, right? And so I know that your vision has had to stay senior over and over and over again in order for us to be here in your fourth year. So congratulations.
Thank
And
you.
thank you for that introduction. I sat in it and allowed myself to hear it, right? And just to start out, which I hadn't planned on even talking about this, but this is what came up for me, the mindset shift that it has taken me over time to really sit with and be willing to take in when I'm being introduced that way. And that wasn't necessarily easy for me. I used to, just when people would introduce me, I would be like, hurry up, hurry up. Okay, enough, enough,
Oh, that's
enough,
enough.
enough. Yeah, right. So that in and of itself is a mindset shift for me, right? So mindset, the power of the mindset. And I, when you come up, when I thought of, this might be something really great for us to talk about, then I took a deeper dive into it over the last few days and weeks, and so much has come up for me. And I want to ask us a question before I even talk about mindset. I think a really great question to begin to explore is, are you free? Are you free? And then what does sweet freedom look like for you? Do you have peace? Are you living a peace-filled life? And are you peaceful? And then another thing that came up for me, which I can't use this word without thinking about you, is, do you have joy? Do you spread joy? And are you joy filled as well as joyful? Well, you got to be filled with joy to be joyful. So before we even go to mindset, that's just like, well, let me think about, well, what, how do we begin to even locate what our mindset is? And that's one of my big beliefs, given the first book I wrote is the Little Book of Big Questions, A Journey in Self-Discovery. I'm a believer that low-yielding questions will only get you low-yielding answers. We have to ask high-yielding questions to illuminate and reveal things to ourselves. Now, by the way, I'm not having this conversation with you all. I'm having it with myself as well. And when I ask myself that question, are you free? I'm free in certain areas of my life, and then there are certain areas where I'm absolutely in bondage, and that's a strong word. And I'm working diligently on peace. So I'll be very transparent. My area is my family and health and well-being. I obsess over it. Like, are they healthy? Oh my God. Because we have a history of diabetes and this and that and obesity. And so I'm always struggling with the weight. And I was listening to an interview with Kerry Washington and Oprah, and she talked about her journey with bulimia and anorexia. Now, I don't have any of those things, but she talked about how much time her mind was filled and obsessing over her whole life was about her weight and what eating right and not doing what she does with the disease that she had. So I think that's a great question to ask ourselves. Are we free? Now, the good news is, no matter where we are in the continuum of life, no matter how big our challenges are, no matter how discouraging, painful, or whatever it is, challenging, intimidating, we have access to everything that I just asked. And it is really, really at the heart of our mindset. Our mindset, I wrote something down, is so, let me say this. So freedom is a place to come from, not a place to get to. Peace is a place to come from, not a place to get to. The same is true of joy. Joy is a place to come from, not a place to get to. So it's context slash mindset. Do I have a mindset of peace? Do I have a mindset of freedom? Do I have a mindset of joy? And I'll tell you, I had an awakening. I just got back from South Africa. It was glorious.
I saw your pictures on
Oh my
social.
God.
Incredible.
It was a trip of a lifetime, and that's a whole nother conversation. But the person that I was visiting was my college roommate, who decided to go on a solo journey and did a year, actually 335 days, 12 countries, and she volunteered 1 month in each country at a nonprofit. So, what I noticed, no matter what happens, so as soon as we get there, I see her, we hug, we cry. I leave my bag that my sister had just bought me back from Ghana in the car, and the driver lives an hour away. The good news is she knew the driver, but I was upset and just fretting and beating myself up. She goes, "Girl, please, the people can drive it back. We'll just pay him whatever we need to pay him." And it was just such an ease about her. And no matter what happened, we almost missed the boat to go to Robben Islands. And I was up in the air, oh my God. And she was like, "We'll catch another one." Well, we ended up getting on it, but that's a whole nother story. But what was illuminated to me was like, wow, you used to be like that. My go-to always was solution. Like, oh, it's going to be fine. It'll work out. It's good. Now, my default is frustration. And then I quickly, because of all the tools that I teach, I can quickly get to solution. But that used to be my absolute mindset where I went, no matter what was happening, I always went to quote unquote the positive. So I was like, when did that mindset shift for you? And it only comes from like asking those questions, right? So all of those things that we talked about, peace, joy, they are a place to come from, a context to hold. It's a decision. It's a declaration of who you are. The thing is, we get to create our mindset. But most of us think, in my case, that I'm a positive mindset. No, you start out a particular way, but it's a recreation and a recreation and a recreation and a recreation. And we start to, for a lot of us, get stagnant and just sit in the, this is how I am. But we as human beings, we're forever altering because 24 hours a day, things are coming at us and are changing. And so the mind is a muscle, and it needs the to be exercised and stretched to stay as strong and as sharp as it needs to be. So I ask you, what is like your gym work for your mindset? Like, I'm very intentional. Like, that was a good correction. But for the most part, I live in a pretty healthy mindset, except I know my area where I'm not free. And me asking that question to ask you guys this question got me clearer that, you know what, that is where I'm going to sharpen my mind so that I can release. And going back to the serenity prayer, I can't control what my family eat, do this. I'm still working on trying to control myself, right? But I've obsessed with it. So I ask people to look at what's robbing you of your sweet freedom, if that's not there. What are you allowing to rob you of your peace? What are you allowing to rob you of your joy? Right? Those are robbers. Stress and worry and obsessing are the robbers of abundance, prosperous, and fulfilling lives. And we have control over that. Now, I'm not here saying that it's one, two, three, easy, especially when you're dealing. You've been very open about your journey with Kyle. When it's your bloodline like that, your child, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, it takes a different kind of tenacity, a different kind of intentionality, a deciding over and over and over and over again, I'm going to sit right in the heart of the serenity prayer, for instance. Okay. So I got a couple more things. Do you have a question to know? It's an
I
insight.
do have a question
No.
because as you,
Yes.
and if people have questions, please feel free to come. You can hit star six if you're on your phone. But as you just said that, I was, and as I'm listening to you, and you mentioned Kyle, so I'll mention it. He's coming home today from Boulder. And he called last night and asked if he could go somebody's spring break, right? Complete opposite of what he articulated his goals were and his vision was for the future. And my immediate reaction was like, what? You know, I didn't yell or anything, but I'm like, you just got back from hanging out. You're supposed to be working to raise money and to, you know, do this, that, and the third. And so I said, no, I'm not willing to pay for that. You know, not in the past, I may have, and then been mad about it. But I said, no, I'm not willing. And he kept asking. And I said, asked and answered. I'm not going to continue this conversation. And I kept calm because of sunrise. But inside, my anxiety, I could feel my blood pressure rising because it's like, what are you doing? And the acceptance is still so hard. Accept that he's in a different place than what I think he should be, you know, at 21. So that's
That's huge,
challenging.
the acceptance, right? And you want to control it, and you can't when it comes to
That's
another
right.
human being. So let's take control of where we have some control,
That's
which
right.
is what I love that prayer. I never get sick of thinking about it. When I get in a jam, I go to it. I ask those three questions, and it'll give me clarity. And it really demands me to take a different kind of action than if I
Right.
just sit in the psychological analysis paralysis. What's wrong? Oh my God, you know, those low yielding questions. It's the mindset is not static. It changes. It's
Right.
fluid. It's
Yeah.
fluid. And
Right.
we have to know that it's fluid. And having or not having, this is some notes that I took as I was thinking through this. Having or not having is a result of our mindset. What you have or don't have is a direct result of our mindset. And our mindset really drives our choices. The state of mind that we're in. So there was a mindset that you had invisible to you because it happened so quickly and it seems, and we will have an automaticity about it, but your audit, what you would have normally went to, you reframed because you've been working a muscle over the last 4 years of how do I effectively deal with my child that is not on the track that I would prefer him to be on. And that's the same for relationships, marriages, children, our own relationship with ourselves, goals, business, same thing. So mindset is one of the most powerful tools in our arsenal. I will go so far as to say, well, I will say one of them, and I'm going to tell you what I think is the most powerful for me, and it's personal, but our mindset is one of the most powerful tools of our arsenal. It controls the direction of our life. It really does. And before you can do anything, you must, and you have your cup believe.
I
This is
do
a note I
today.
went digging around about mindset, and it says, before you can do anything, you must believe it's possible.
That's right.
So even in this conversation, in order for us to embrace what I'm talking about, you would have to first be willing, which I use that word a lot. Most people think that is a benign word, but minus willingness, nothing shifts, period.
Say that again.
So when I use the word willing seems so benign, right? Small little word, no big
Yeah.
deal. But minus willingness,
Okay.
nothing shifts,
Got it.
nothing. So even in this conversation, one must be willing to propose or consider this idea of mindset. You know,
Yeah.
most times, like, no, it ain't all about the mindset, honey. You don't really know what's going on with me. That sounds good in theory, but let me tell you about this, that, and the other. There has to be a willingness to accept that this has some validity to it,
Right.
right? And before we do anything, we have to believe it. You had to get to the point, and I remember previous conversations when sunrise was just a nice idea. And it had to go. And everything is born in a conversation. That initial conversation, it was a thought, and then it was birthed through the conversation. And it's the subsequent conversations after that initial conversation
That's right.
that determines if it becomes a reality. Every dream is born in a conversation. I say every dream is killed in a conversation.
Oh, that's so deep. Yeah.
So I Am Woman started. I was with the people that was in a car with me in New York 10 years ago, coming home from a transformational training. And they said, Sylvia, wouldn't it be great if? And there was a lot of conversations because it was a whole lane that I had never been in before that had that keep alive, if you will, until it manifested in real time, right? So, I'm going to say one more thing and then I'll see if you have any questions. Your mindset, our mindset is a collective, a collection of thoughts. Our mindset is simply a collection of thoughts and beliefs that, now I need you to hear this, that shape your thought habits. I'm going to say that again because that one really struck me. So, my mindset, your mindset, our mindset is a collection of thoughts and beliefs that shape our thought habits. So, my beliefs for a while there, which I really loved, had me, my thought habits tend to lean to the positive. That's a collection of beliefs that life is good. I deserve the best. It's all going to work. God loves me. I had a lot of beliefs and thought habits, thoughts that created my thought habits, which then have a direct result to my experience of life and my results. They didn't just automatically happen. They're a direct mirror back to my thought habit. So I ask people to think about that. What are your thought habits? Do we go to the cup is half full or half empty? Are we looking to be right or are we looking to compromise? Do you believe people are good or people are not to be trusted? What's your thought habits? We have them. We're not aware a lot of times or that what they are. But the more I can become, going back to that conversation we had years ago, I know that I author everything I'm thinking. I really do. But in order to do so, we got to get out of the fast busyness and become a keen observer of our thinking. So I'm always watching me. I'm an observer of myself, right? And what becomes available, the muscle gets strong. And even though I noticed that I had slipped, that my default was not right to immediate all is well and it's going to work out is, oh my God, a lot of drama. And then on a dime's notice, though, I could shift back to this thought habit. But I was like, well, when did this become my go-to? And that only happened in South Africa just a couple of weeks ago that I caught it. I start to slip over to this other side. But I'm married. He's somewhere in here. I'm married to an engineer, right? And that is not his thought habits, his logic and looking at the facts and what how it needs to. And I've slipped
You're
into,
creative. You're
let me
big
tell you, I
picture.
slipped into his some of his habits. I'm not pointing a finger and making wrong because there's a lot of things that work that wouldn't work the way it works if I didn't have a detailed guy like that, right? But I slipped into that. So you want to watch your environments. All environments, I mean, he loves me. There's nothing he won't do for me. I don't have, my clock was already set. The heat was on before I even got up this morning
So
because of the
nice.
spirit I had this. The fireplace is on when I walk downstairs, before I even get out of bed. So yay for that, right?
Yay for that. That's amazing.
But let me tell you, honey, he is right to the black and white, and there is, and
Not a
so
lot of gray.
that can get kind of, So just looking at your thought habits, what are, and no beat up, y'all. We're not going right, wrong, good, bad. Just looking at what is, because we can't shift what we're willing to be, unwilling to be with. I am not making myself wrong. That is over. That's expired. There's no cheese down that tube. Just
Love it.
neutral observation as best as we can, lots and lots of grace for our own humanity, and then choosing to exercise the muscle so that it expands and grows and is generating and is in alignment with the desires of our heart. So I'm going to stop there, see if you got any questions or anything you want to add, Kelly. Then I
I
got
do have
some.
a question, but I want to make sure I ask this question that's in the chat. And Danielle, one of our experts, is here, and she's asking, what do you think is the first step to changing our mindset to be more positive and joyful? What's the first?
I have a list. I have a
Yes,
list.
please.
Okay. So, and it's personal. So let me say that. I don't think there's no one way to that. It's really because all of us carry different belief systems, different lifestyles, different practices. But it is in the Bible that to renew the mind. And so the question is, how do we renew that? And I'll share some things. I'm gonna give a couple of teachables more, and then I'll go to my list of things to do. Okay. Does that work for you?
Yes,
Okay.
absolutely.
So I said that about us collective. Your thought habits affect how you think. Your thought habits, different than your thinking, your thought habits really impact the way you think. It determines how you feel, and it will drive what you're willing to do. So that's critical. Your mindset impacts all of that. It impacts how you make sense of the world and how you make sense of yourself. My sister said, you'll just ask. I can't believe people just like they'll do anything for you, right? But I basically really fundamentally believe that people are good and people want to help. And I am somebody that is good and I want to help. So
That's
I
right.
don't have a problem asking for what I want because of the mindset that I have about myself and the world and how people occur in the world. She
Absolutely.
believes that you can't trust people, people don't do what they say. And so she continues to get results that align with that belief system. It seems
Absolutely.
hokey, but it's a lot of power to them.
Yeah.
Okay. Where our mind goes, I love this. Where your mind go, there also goes your entire being. Yeah, and the way it is very, it's much more poetic than the way I said it. But where our mind goes, there goes our whole being, our whole life. Now, I got that directly from one of my devotional. That's one of my ways that I renew my mind. And this particular devotion is Jesus is Calling by Sarah Young. That's a daily
I
for
love
me.
that. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I use it every day. So mindset can have us in bondage, but it also can have us free. Yeah. And so when you say set, what does set actually mean? Set means to put something in a particular position or location, right? And so how do we set our minds so that we're winning and experiencing life from a place of peace, prosperity, and joy? We have to set our minds in a particular location. That's what it means to set, right? And understanding that we could hit to reset and reset. It's not like, oh, I said that's where I slipped because, oh, I'm positive. No, it's not a defendant. It's a ongoing recreating, resetting, resetting. And lastly, I'll say, and then I'll start with the other things. You have to believe that you have the power to create your own reality in order to begin to delve into setting your mind, that I really have the power to create my own reality. And if that belief is not in place, then obviously everything I'm talking about today will have a pretty significant challenge. And that you for sure create your experience about your reality. Now, that for me is not a debatable. You and I have gone, and the times that I've talked, life is gonna life, and people gonna people, and the world is gonna world. And the Serenity Prayer tell us there's things outside of what we can actually change. But the one thing that we always, 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 always have the power to do is to choose how we're going to relate to the facts of our life. That's there. And I don't want us to be like one, two, three, because there's emotional components, there's real world components, there's living components that it takes muscle, if you will, to execute what I just said, depending on what's going on in your life, right?
Absolutely.
So how do I do it? One is being intentional about having a positive attitude. I'll catch myself and go, well, that's negative. Like just simple, straight, it's as simplified as I can get, is I am a declared myself to be a positive person. So I have to look to see, is my mindset aligning with those words out of my mouth? Are my actions? How am I treating people? How do I respond? Especially in my case, when you're up against it. In my first book, I wrote this thing, and everybody's heard it. If you looked at the, if you was put in a squeeze, if you squeeze an orange, what comes out of it? Orange juice. And I asked the question in the book, if somebody squeezed you, what would come out? And I said, oh, love, kindness, positivity, joy. That's what will come out of me if you squeeze. Then I ask another question. When you're in a squeeze, what comes out? Oh my God.
Oh, that's deep.
When I'm in a squeeze, honey, listen, I got to work for that joy and I got to work for patience. I got to work for kindness.
Yes.
Because when I'm in a squeeze, historically, an edge comes out,
Absolutely.
impatience comes out. And because I asked the question that way, now when I'm in a squeeze, I will say I've transformed significantly in how I am when I'm in a squeeze. Right. So one is positive attitude. The second that I think is unshakable faith. Yeah. And that's a big word. And I'm a woman of faith, but sometimes mine is shaky. How do I get it unshakable? That was one of my great gifts of the 17 days in South Africa. I said, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to enjoy that country, which that was, I went back and forth from bliss to rage to hate, bliss to rage. That was difficult, that part. But anyways, I just went in really deep with God just for seeking God. I don't want nothing today. I just want to get closer to you. See, I want to fall in love with Jesus just because he's Jesus. And I can't say that that's honest for me. I'm always petitioning for what I want. Like, well, this is why I'm good because I want this and I want that. What would it be for me to like fall in love? So in my digging around, again, in my devotional of as Jesus is calling, it says purity of heart, unity, and fellowship will give me access to peace in a way that I was looking to have. So I'm working on that, right? So that my friend, the one that I'm talking about, we were like, girl, you're gonna go what? 365 days to the whole continent, 12 countries in Africa by yourself. No. And all we heard was danger and this and that. Never, never faced it. And all she had was blessings upon blessings upon angel, earth angels from one end to the, from start to finish. So she has an unshakable childlike faith. So whatever that takes to renew your faith, for me, it's God. For other people, it could be something different. I do have a belief that everything is possible.
Yes. And that's how
Everything is
you create
possible.
that positive
Yeah.
attitude because you have a possibility mindset.
Yeah. And that's where that Kelly is a simple question. Moment to moment, you may want to ask that question and it can shift me quick. Am I in a no possibility mindset or am I in a possibility mindset? And when I catch myself and I'm in a no possibility mindset, I say, what do I need to do to shift? But at the heart of that, to be able to make that shift, is that I believe that everything is impossible. In fact, I believe the word impossible is a lie. The word says it. This isn't Sylvia making up. He said, all things are possible to those that believe. So I don't even believe there should be a word called impossible. Okay, so, and that's pretty radical because, if you start bringing logic into it, so some things you've got to color outside of logic. I just lost my amazing brother-in-law, which was a brilliant mind. And I said to him in his journey of looking to stay here on the planet, I say, your brilliance and your logic is not going to be your friend in this journey. You're going to have radical faith in order to even have a shot at this thing. So that's what I mean when I say unshakable faith. Your passion needs to stay first. Passion first. How often are you focused on the things that you love? It fills me up. I noticed I was in New York and I did a session last week called Train the Trainer. And I got to work with people that want to speak and train and do all kinds of things. I didn't have, all I thought was positive, joyful thoughts. Why? Because I was entrenched in my passion. Transformation and humanity is my passion, empowering people. I
Wow.
didn't have one negative, worry, fearful thought that I often get when I'm just sitting idle with my own thoughts, if that makes sense.
Can I ask, you mentioned radical faith. And one of the previous times you were here, you talked about radical love. And you talked about, and then we were talking dealing with one of the challenges, one of the parts of the journey back in 2020, I think. And you talked about radical love, even in the space of chaos, showing up with love, no matter what. That can be really challenging.
Extremely. But my mother rooted us, her children, in something that gives me access to that. So I have to say that was pushed and pushed in my childhood. So it's in my mindset. She said, never let other people determine who you're going to be, period.
That part. Say that
So it
again.
never allow other people to determine who you're going to be. So I don't get to say, oh, well, Kelly was, snooty with me, so honey, I had to get her. And I'm no wimp, right? But I can correct you in the space of love. I don't execute this 100%, people. Please hear me. Y'all heard me, right? But that's the come from, right? I'll tell you that I'm trying to think of his name, Avant. He was the godfather.
Clarence,
Thank
Clarence.
you, Clarence. His daughter did an interview with Oprah that blew my mind, if you ever get a chance to go see it. And it was about the man that murdered her mother. And the conversation this woman had on the way to the hospital, knowing this, she was like, Lord, please don't allow me to hate this person. I can't even imagine, girl. And she went on to talk in more detail. And I don't have the time to tell you the whole story, but that's radical. That is radical. This person just brutally murdered your mom, and your thought is, God, please don't let me hate them. I'm like, what? Oprah was flabbergasted. She didn't even have a question after that. What do you say? But really, that's radical, right? Being
And
clear.
also the belief, the new choice, the reset of
And
the
the
belief
reset,
that
and the
this trip
reset.
is going to be fantastic. I'm saying it out loud to myself. That this week will be wonderful and we will not have any drama because it will be a wonderful week. So I'm choosing to believe that.
Over and over. And in the face of, and that's faith, when the facts are saying something different. Now he just called you to want to go on the, what is it, spring break
Oh,
trip.
spring, right.
And you've said no, so you kind of know that it's a high percentage that it's going to be a little funky attitude coming
Right.
home with him,
Or he'll
right?
be there. He's
You
gonna get there anyway.
know what I'm saying? So, but your choice is, I'm choosing where I'm going to stand
Right.
inside of my loving
In a
no.
loving space, right.
And then the last thing is, of course, I'm a big believer of attitude of gratitude. It's, we hear that your attitude determines your altitude. And I believe that gratitude is the greatest elevator of any attitude. I've come to know now what our parents meant when they said bittersweet. If you're looking to access some sweet in the middle of the bitter, it is gratitude. My sister eulogized her husband. It was like, people like, do you think you're going to be able to do that? And this is 45 years of I witnessed an extraordinary marriage of between the two of them. And she's probably saved my marriage, because early on I called her, she'd go, girl, at that point they had been married 25 years. Imagine this. It took me a minute. She goes, well, can't you just be quiet? Why do you have to say something back? She says, just learn to like be quiet, especially if it's not something kind. She said, Melvin and I, in 25 years, have never said anything to each other that we had to take back. I was like, what? Girl, I wasn't even 6 months in, and I know I had about four needed to take back. But
Absolutely.
I took it to heart. I really, really did. And I've never gone below the belt since.
I love
I
that.
say what I gotta say, but I'm not looking to hurt you.
Right.
I am looking to be heard at times. I'm looking to be right a lot of times. I want to make my point, but I'm not looking to get you.
Sometimes
And
being quiet is such a key, such a
I can't even
wonderful thing.
imagine. And so she was able to eulogize him, and she said, "I can only, how can I not stand here and give God the praises, given the 45 extraordinary years that I've had?"
That's
And she went
amazing.
on and on, and people left going, "I want that faith." You know,
Mm-hmm.
it was, and she's my sister, but to witness it, and I know the marriage she had. This isn't like conversation. She's never
Right.
had to think about anything other than what she wants to do in terms of her passion and her business,
Fantastic.
and the same for my niece. And
Oh,
so that
good.
that's a gratitude attitude. That's what gave her access, I'm saying, to being able to do that, because she was, her gratitude overrode the fact that, oh my God, I really want more years with my husband,
Yes,
if that
right.
makes
That's
sense.
beautiful. There's a question, Sylvia, in the chat that says, how do you remain joyful and peaceful when you have an adult child living with you for 7 years that has a mental illness and a mother with Alzheimer's? And both have been very draining, even though I try to keep myself in a positive mindset, but it's really not easy emotionally or mentally.
No, it's that's, oh gosh, that's a walk. That's no joke. Support, I think, is key. Because sometimes you got to lean on somebody else's strength and somebody else's positivity. When you got to own your humanity, that you're one person, one woman, I can't do it all. Asking for help, I think, is critical. I think also, in the midst of something so difficult, two key people not well at all is what I'm hearing her say. You want to be intentional about focusing on all the other things in your life that are good. And that sometimes I woke up, I can get out the bed, I have my own strength. Sometimes I got to dig deeper depending on what I'm up against. And for me, it's prayer. Like, Lord, please help me. You know, that's number one, which I hadn't even got to that yet. But it's no joke. I got friends, you know, this is at this stage, so much of that is happening. And then getting whatever help unapologetically that you need, you know, be it therapy, be it, you know, friends, community like that. And a lot of prayer and taking some time out. I think the caregiver has to take care of the caregiver first. It's the whole thing about the oxygen mask, so that you can reboot and start again. Years ago, when I was on the Oprah Live Your Life tour, the question we were supposed to be answering, by the way, was how to have a balanced life. And I happened to look out at the audience, and I think to myself, "Okay, God, this is not a good question, but this is the one that this is the one I'm hired to answer, right?" So I said, "How many of you all got like the banding careers?" Every hand went up. "How many of you got some small kids?" Every hand went up. "How many of y'all got some pets?" Hands went up. "How many of you got a huge commute?" So is it safe to say your life is not going to be in balance for some time? I think the question that I asked, and at that point I was about 75% travel. Balance was not nowhere in the view. But the thing I learned to do was to balance the life I had. Stop wishing for a different life, Sylvia. This is what you got right now, and this is what you're actually choosing. How do I balance the life I had? And for me, Kelly, what that looked like, I start to live wherever I was. I used to put my life on hold till I get back to the Bay Area. Well, when I get back, it's the dry cleaners, opening the mail, running errands, getting ready for the next trip. So in New York, I got a gym membership in New York. And then in Seattle, I found out where this, you know, massage place was. I went to, there's not a Broadway play that's out that if it's not dark in the city, I'm going to a play. You know, I met people for dinner. I found my best walks in New York, you know, on the west side, off of the West Side Highway. I start living wherever I was. So to that person, balancing the life you have. And so people, and what I had started to get resentful, because I like to go on about four good vacations a year. I hadn't been on vacation in almost 2 years. So now I'm pissy and resentful. And I'm like, oh man, I no longer, I wasn't even loving my work at that point. It had become a problem. And what I had to do is I learned hourcations. Everybody said I should trademark that word. But sometimes all you got is an hour. I told the mothers, when you pull up, don't go in the house. Sit in the car, do a 15-minute-cation like that. So squeeze in the moments for yourself. If it's only 15 minutes, if you just sit in the bathroom with yourself for 15 minutes and it's just you, and maybe you only got five, but this is mine, and breathe. And that's what I would offer there. And keep pulling for yourself, care first.
Yeah.
That's a
I
big
love
one.
that. Just yesterday, I'll share. I was in Cleveland. I went to celebrate my mom and her birthday on Wednesday. And yesterday, I had an appointment, a hair appointment to get my gray colored. But that would have meant taking a 6 a.m. flight. It was snowing like crazy. And I thought, I'm tired. I'm not going to take a 6 a.m. flight. So that felt so good to say, I'm going to stay here and I'll get the gray color next week. Not a big
There you
deal.
go.
And
That's
it was a simple thing to be able to stay in the bed till 6 instead of in an Uber at 4 to make a hair appointment when at the end of the day it's just gray hair. Who cares?
Oh,
That's such
that's
growth.
a beautiful example. And to your point, I don't take 6 a.m. flights.
Not, and I'm very the fact that you're
Shout
here is a miracle and it's a
me
wonderful
down.
thing.
No, really, because they set me back, Kelly. If I do that 6 a.m., I don't sleep the night before because I might miss the Uber, and it's just like a whole thing. I go in a day early
Then you're
or
exhausted the day.
two because I need to, like, you got to go to New York 2 days before your training. I said, He goes, and I did just this last trip. I went 2 days early and stayed 3 days
I
after
love it.
for because I needed it. I know me. Right. So to your point, thank you for that. That's good.
It's good. And someone just said, gray hair is beautiful. Tinsel showing our wisdom. Okay, I'm going to embrace that. And I want to, someone else just asked, how do you stay focused on your business with distractions of both things mentioned above? And I would just say for me, I similar to Sylvia, I have a bunch of journal, like devotional, this Jesus calling she mentioned earlier. I have the daily word. I have all kinds of devotionals that divinely give me what I need in that moment. Like even this morning's daily word is about acceptance, ironically. It's not ironic, it's divine.
Yeah, it is.
Acceptance of Kyle coming tonight and what this week will look like, in a different way.
Kelly,
Different.
you know what else I would say to that person is time blocking.
Oh.
Yeah. So when I was writing my each book, the whole story was I didn't have time. I just got way too much going on.
Yes.
And so, well, who took it? When you got a lot on your plate, there's a lot of people taking it. But I had to like say, okay, from this hour to this hour, 3 days a week, I am going to write at least if it's five lines, and it always would end up more. But blocking your time out is one of the ways that I stay focused. And I'm not as good as the idea of it is, but when I do it, it is, and my productivity goes way up versus I kind of just let my days happen to me because I'm in charge of my day. And then I look up at the end of the day, well, what did I get done? But when I block it out and writing it down the night before, just not even fancy, just on the notepad next to my bed, these are the things that I'm going to get done. And then I look and I find that I'm more productive. So that might help. Can I give a few more? Because I know
Please,
we're
please,
coming.
please.
So remember, we already said it. It's think of it as a renewing strategy. You need a strategy to renew the mind daily. What are some daily power beliefs? What are some daily power thoughts? We are the programmers, and how are you programming your mind daily? So all of my coaching clients, people think it's a little corny, but they have an AM affirmations and a PM. Open your day and close your day. Otherwise, our life become like a run-on sentence. Every day kind of looks the same, but you say, this is the start of this day. This is the finish of this day. And what am I looking to for tomorrow? So you're breaking up that continuity, especially when the continuity isn't empowering. Okay, the mind is just like a muscle. I said that the more you exercise it, the stronger it gets and the more it expands. And my big one is living at choice. Every way that we are is a choice, y'all. Everything that we do is a choice. Even choosing not to choose is a choice. And I believe to the depths of my being, that is how God distinguished humanity, us human beings, from the rest of his phenomenal creations, right? So living at choice and a willingness to shift and pivot. And that may mean shift. And my transformational work, we say shift and shift again and shift and shift again. And pivot came into play, you know, with COVID, pivot and pivot again. And in real time, because our greatest point of power is in real time, not after the fact. You know, me and potato chips, we got like a war that goes on. Okay. In real time is like, don't eat them. That's my biggest point. Not after I eat them and I'm not going to eat them again. No, in real time, making that choice. Okay. Especially in the face of challenge. And once the mindset changes, y'all, everything on the outside will change as well. One of the things that I love about transformation, none of the facts of your life have to change, and yet your entire life can change when we alter our relationship with what is. Now, the things that you can change, that serenity prayer is the bomb. I'm telling you, change those things. The things that you can't, give me the strength to, you know, whichever way it goes, y'all know what I'm saying, and the wisdom to know the difference. Where the mind goes, so does our being. And then this is something that I love to say, you got to see it before you see it. You know, we all can give praise and thanks and all of that after the fact, but see it before you see it. You have to believe it in with any chance of conceiving it. Believe it in order to conceive it and make it happen. It really takes that. And so your attitude is working for you or working against you. Is my attitude working for me or is it working against me? And so I have affirmations is one, declaration is one of my tools. I declare in the face of no evidence. Like, you know what? We're gonna have 1,000 women at the conference. No evidence whatsoever. So that's declaration. Prayer is one of my big tools. I journal my prayers. People just journal in general, but every morning, dear God, I know you know it's me, but let me tell you. And then I just go to town. Prayer, I went being meditation is key, as well as visualizing and seeing it. Now, I got pricked in a conversation in New York. A friend of mine who's working, overworking, burnt out, love what he does, transformational trainers. He goes, and then I saw that I was shrinking. I was disappearing. I was working so much that I was disappearing. And he's a poet and a writer, right? And he said to me, Sylvia, and I stopped dreaming. Now I consider myself a dreamer. And then I sat with the, y'all know what? I haven't been dreaming. I have goals. Now I need to infuse. I came back home with like my mind, it just exploded. I was like, oh my gosh, let's sit in the dream context. And that may be infusing more in my goals because they still are in alignment. But what would I dream up right now if I could dream up some stuff? And I came up with some, it just gave me such new life
That's
just
awesome.
to like commit to dreaming and distinguishing dreaming from my goals. Now, they don't have the quite the same effervescence when it's a goal. You need them. It's a tool to get there, but it's different energy than when you're dreaming. So that's something that I'm going to do. Reading the word, morning prep, like morning preparation, brush it, all the stuff we do. Mine includes stretching now because it's a necessity. And I could tell it when I miss. And then you should have a PM prep, like a closing, a bed prep. And, different ones do. And think about everything that is good in your life as best as you can as a practice. That is one of
Look
the
at the
things that I do like.
positive.
That's one thing I do like about myself. There's a lot I don't like and need to change, but I'm grateful that I'm grateful. I'm extremely grateful. It's not a day that I wake up and put those feet on the floor and can walk to that bathroom that I don't say thank you. It's not a day that I walk around and go from room to room and there's something in every room of my home that feeds my spirit that I say thank you for. That's every day, just like almost automatic, right? I can't. God ain't mad with me when I pass the color purple, because I promise you I notice,
That's
right?
yeah, absolutely. And those flowers we used to see at Odyssey in the
Yeah.
lobby of the
You
Ritz.
remember. Okay, you remember that story. Oh my
I
God,
remember.
Kelly. Oh, those purple orchids were big as my fist.
Yes,
I'm going around
that
with
was 50
lots
years
of
ago.
orchids.
I remember it
And
like it was
everybody
yesterday.
was like, what orchids? What orchids? I'm like, are they nuts? In the silver vases that come
Yes,
back.
incredible. I remember us standing there.
So that would be when you say that, Kelly, never let your blessings become commonplace.
That is beautiful.
And there's so much more. And then I got 90 million Bible verses. I'll let y'all figure them out.
So, I want to say this. One, we'd love to thank you for being
You're
here. I'd
welcome.
love to have you here again. You are amazing. Always welcome and always such a wonderful spirit and gift to us and to the whole world.
Thank you.
And you just mentioned something. Someone says, please come back. Yes, we would love to have you come back. And I would love, you just mentioned Bible verses and you have a million Bible verses and you've blessed us so much. I would love it if you would close us out in a prayer. I know I'm
Okay.
putting you on the spot, but that would be
Okay.
amazing.
All right.
I have my daily word was about acceptance today. And I shared earlier as, I get ready to accept Kyle into the home again for several weeks, possibly. Acceptance and love and how I choose to show up. What you shared today has been immensely helpful. And I would love for you to close us out in a prayer. And
Absolutely.
you've been so amazing. And oh, let me just say one other thing. Two other things. Sylvia has incredible books, two books on Amazon. They're available. The little book of big questions is incredible. It really changed my life. And also, she has an incredible conference called the I Am Woman Conference every September. So we'll share more about that. But that's mid-September in Atlanta. That's coming.
Yeah, it's September 21st and 22nd this year, Kelly. And
Okay.
the focus is peace, power, and purpose.
Love it. The three
And
P's.
so,
Love, love, love. And
so,
yeah. So thank you for being here again. I'm
oh,
gonna
absolutely. Absolutely. So
close
let's
this
all
out.
just take a deep breath and close our eyes,
Okay.
open our hearts. And Heavenly Father, we come to you with a heart of thanksgiving. There's not enough thank yous and not enough praises, not enough glory, hallelujahs to thank you for this day. When we all laid our heads down last night, we were so certain that this day would happen, but we know it's only because of your amazing grace and goodness that it did occur. And so for that, we're grateful. And now we ask you to take the right away to our heart, that you take the throne of our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. And Holy Spirit, if you would so clearly speak to our hearts, then we'll know exactly what to do. We ask that you order each and every step that they're ordained and ordered. We lift up our families, we lift up our concerns, we lift up our dreams. We give it all to you because we know in your hands you can manifest and create more than we could think or imagine. Continue to keep us safe as you have done so graciously up until now. Bless our families and our challenges, and we ask God that you help us to see all of our challenges through your eyes and not ours, that we see each other through your eyes and not ours, and that the serenity prayer becomes something that we live by and not just something that we say Give us the strength, give us the courage, and give us the wisdom to know exactly what to do. We surrender our will to you. We surrender ourselves to you. And we give the gifts that you've given us back to you and have you take those gifts and multiply them and do what you would have us do to have the world be a better place. Keep us in your perfect peace that surpasses human understanding. And bless every woman, family, child, and their well-being that is here today. And we thank Kelly for her courageous and her tenacity to continue to do this, to support all of us that are having different kinds of challenges. Keep her strong, keep her spirit strong, and keep each of us strong. All of these things we ask in your sweet son, Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Ah, what a great
Amazing.
Way to start my Sunday. I'm ignited. Thank y'all for
Thank
having me
you.
And listening and sharing space. Kelly, you know I love you. And
love you too, Sylvia. That was so beautiful. Thank you. What an amazing hour, amazing time. People said that resonated with me so deeply. I literally had that revelation myself. Please come back. Thank you for touching our lives with your wisdom and heart, Sylvia. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to share some of the love and thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes.
And so thank you again. Have a beautiful day, a beautiful week. Be back next Sunday, 9 a.m. Eastern. I'll give you a jingle shortly, Sylvia. Thank you.
All right. God bless everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.